The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA.
Hey Al, you ready? Let's do it.
Rolling with the intros.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week is probably what it is. Sorry, we talked a little bit earlier, a couple of weeks ago about the NBA, but this will be, I guess, our first general NBA conversation about, I guess, the season so far. A couple of weird things that are happening, some different news. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Do you like the way, without sort of going through everything right now, do you think the way they're sort of setting up this schedule and everything, do you like the way the NBA set this up in terms of, if we're not comparing NFL and NBA, but do you like the way it's set up?
I think the way that they're doing it at the moment is doing a lot of sort of travel less games. A lot of back-to-backs in the same city, so they can just get those games out of the way. Sort of almost like what the playoffs would do. You know, play two games in the same city in 2 days, and then that's it. Then they don't have to travel back to that city. I guess it's easy for a place like LA. Like, you could go to LA and stay there for a week. You know, you could have a couple of games against the Lakers, a couple of games against the Clippers, and then sort of take off. So. I don't mind the way that they're doing it at the moment. It's a little funny sort of logistically how they're doing it. The season has been cut short by 2 months, but they're only having 10 less regular season games.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They're making it go a month longer into July, where the finals will be. So they can try and pump all the games through and then still have a little bit of time for the Olympics. But, it is what it is. They've sort of crunched the numbers. And I guess this year, again, is going to be as different a year as there ever has been, especially in all sports. So, the NBA is no different. And that's me. We just got to see how everything will go, how they're sort of dealing with COVID protocols and things like that over there with their quarantining and all that sort of stuff. So we've just got to sort of sit back and wait. They are traveling to different cities, and we've seen with the NFL that it just, I don't know, it happens. Doesn't matter what sort of situations that you have and how much precautions you can take to not come in contact with people that possibly could have coronavirus, but it happens. Yep. And that's me. Yep. Looking at the NFL, the NBA is going to be no different.
And they, I was listening to a couple other podcasts. I think they projected that while each team will lose about $100 million. So, sort of revenue, because ticket gate sales, obviously, for one. Secondly, season ticket holders. If people think they're not going to go back to, go and watch the games, they'll just give away their tickets. So that's money that they had sitting there. And there's just little other things.
It's advertising,
The China thing that you mentioned before.
No, that's right. Yeah, China has been a big, 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 big hole in NBA revenue worldwide. Yeah. If you think about that, around $100 million, some owners will be, they probably wouldn't bend down to pick up $100 million, and some would be like, oh, that's a significant chunk of change to be losing over an NBA season. My heart bleeds, for billionaires that lose money. Like, it just absolutely bleeds for them. So, I'd gladly take, $500,000 off one of them, and that'd be like 10 cents to us.
I don't care if rich people lose that kind of money. It's not that. It's more that if if we lose the quality of players or the quality of the game because of, you know, not that kind of revenue being around. That's what I'm sort of getting at. I don't see that happening. I mean, it's where any basketball player wants to play. So, that's right. Where they're going to get the majority of the money. But
the NBA is a juggernaut.
Yeah, it is. And it's only to get sort of through this COVID sort of period. There was an idea floating around that only, I guess, one way of getting money was doing, which it's always been floating around this one, but the two extra two team expansion rule. But that's that, you know, while that might get you quick money, which it would.
How much extra revenue is that going to generate?
Well, so I looked into it. So you've got to buy a franchise. Say you buy a franchise for $2 or $3 billion per team. Let's just say that. The thing is, once they say, and you know, like it always gets floated around, and like the like a Seattle and a Las Vegas. Seattle only logistically. Seattle, the only person that lives in Seattle that could do it and wouldn't notice the money is Jeff Bezos, the guy that runs Amazon, owns Amazon, because $2 billion to him is like you just said, bending over and not even. But what I'm getting at,
that's chump change.
Yeah, that's nothing to him. Like if he just wanted it as a hobby, like that he could, but. The thing
wouldn't that be nice? A sports team is a hobby. You know, I collect basketball and football cards, but you know, some people just collect, you know, sports teams as a hobby. You know, whatever.
But the thing is that the reason against it, which you know makes a lot of sense to me, is that once they're in, then every individual. So say the NBA makes $1 billion. You know, in revenue in the season, that gets split between 30 teams. So there are two more teams come on, you know, that's going to then split that even more. So, you know, buying, just getting that cheap money for a franchise is, and then having to pay that every year, or I guess, is still not very advantageous, if you know what I mean. It's probably easier for them to go, if they need to, go and get a quick loan from the bank. That would be the only, I don't think it's going to get to that, but that would be the easier way.
No, and that's it. And then if you have your two teams, say it's your Seattle's and your Vegas teams, then the only logical choice then is to have a conference realignment, and that means Memphis, and I would think New Orleans would go back to the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, well, you'd have to do
Memphis absolutely.
Yeah, for
would
sure.
Would go back to the Eastern Conference, and then if you just sort of have a look at the way that the country's aligned. You know, New Orleans. Well, when the Hornets went to New Orleans from Charlotte, they were in the Eastern Conference for ages. So
yeah,
it would make sense that they're the sort of the newest team that's moved.
Yeah.
So it would make sense to move them back to the Eastern Conference, and that would be totally fine with me right this minute, because the Western Conference is just an absolute friggin' shit fight at the moment. Like they're just. That, especially if you have a look at the standings at the moment and who's who at the zoo and who's on top and who's hovering around the bottom. Well, this season in the first 2 weeks has been extremely bizarre.
Well, let's sort of just let's digress into that. Like the standings, I mean, if we're looking right at the moment now, you've got your two on the Western side at least. You've got your couple of heavyweights on 5-2, the Lakers and the Clippers, but the Suns, they're 5-2 at the moment. I mean, I thought, I said...
CP3 factor.
That's exactly right. I said, he's in the team, that's going to free up Devin Booker. And Devin Booker, you know, while he's not getting his assists and all that, I don't think he cares. I think he just loves that he doesn't have to be the person that distributes the ball. He can just... There's more space for him.
But he doesn't have to create all the plays then, because, you know, Chris Paul is... a natural playmaker. Like he can score and he can score with the best of people. And he's, you know, it's still at his age. What is he? 34.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still got pretty good handles, and it's, yeah, have a look at what he did with that OKC team. You know, there's statistics out there that prove that every team that Chris Paul is a part of, the very first season that he's
very
there,
first
they
season,
improved
yeah.
dramatically, you know, The year that he was drafted, the Hornets were one game away from beating San Antonio in the conference semis, of making a conference final with the Hornets. You know, he goes to the Clippers, they're exponentially better. Okay, they had D. DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin there as well, and Jamal Crawford and J.J. Redick and guys like that. He goes to Houston. They're one game away from beating Golden State and going into an NBA Finals. You know, if they don't have the all-time croak of the century and going like 2 for 28 from three, this is Houston, then, you know, they make a conference final.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think their biggest problem is looking at their team now. I would love to see Phoenix, you know, a Phoenix team come back into the sort of playoff contention. Their biggest thing is looking at their team. While they're pretty depth wise, they're not too bad on the forward side. I think they're lacking just a little bit on the guard side, either in point or shooting guard position. You know, beyond Booker and Chris Paul, they don't really have the good Cameron Payne, Javon Carter. They don't have much there at all. You know, on the other side, they've got Mikal Bridges, a Jay Crowder, Dario Saric, Jalen Smith. So it's sort of not too bad on the forward side. They might just a little bit of depth probably in the guard side.
And unfortunately, that means then that you have to split minutes between Booker and Chris Paul. So that means they can't be on the court as much at the same time, because they're going to have to be the mainstay there. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, don't sleep on my boy Etuan Moore either. Like, you know, he was always a constant with New Orleans, man. Like,
Langston Galloway as well. I just realized he's on there. So he's, you know, he can be handy when he needs to be.
Trust Etuan Moore 100 times more than Langston Galloway.
It's not bad. I still think they're lacking just that little bit of depth in the guard, but yeah, at 5-2, I mean, they might sort of slip a little bit, but I really think they can make the 8 this year, personally.
Well, I think we said it at the start, you know, sort of towards the start of the season. There could be 11, 12, 13 teams in the West that could be making a push.
And if you're looking at it now, that's sort of the way it is. I'd say probably up to about 11. And like Nuggets are sitting 11, which is a bit.
What's it mean? Have a look at Denver, 2-4. Houston, they're always going to be, you know, the way that they're going at the moment. I don't know why, if they keep playing the way that they are, I don't know why they would sort of keep pursuing these trade offers unless it's an unbelievable offer for James Harden. I think they should try and stick it out with DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, Christian Wood, and James Harden. Like, Christian Wood is putting up some crazy numbers.
And I'll throw myself in the hat. For all the people that doubted Christian Wood when he sort of signed that big contract with Houston, he's putting up great numbers.
Christian Wood was an emerging player that came off the bench in New Orleans for the Pelicans. Yeah. And when he was there and he was competing for minutes with Jahlil Okafor, and he was putting up better numbers.
But Okafor
was the cheaper option, so they kept him, and then Christian Wood ended up going to Milwaukee, and then he ended up playing really good there. It's just he's a really good player. He's a good post player, and he's a good rebounder.
Well, he's averaging 23 points and 10 rebounds per game.
Yeah,
so
that's nothing to be sneezed at. That's DeMarcus Cousins type numbers.
That's brilliant numbers. That's one of the, like, who is he? He was with, I mean, Detroit. They should have kept him. I think it was Detroit, wasn't it? It was Detroit.
He was with Detroit last year.
But what you're saying, just with Houston, just going back, were you saying they should persevere with the Harden thing or look at buying it up? Because what are they, 3-4 or 2-4?
Unless they get an unbelievable offer. I'm not sure how many teams are going to be able to throw out the big offer or the big star to replace the star. It's going to be a multiple draft picks, multiple player trade, like what happened with, you know, Paul George, like what happened with Anthony Davis, you know, those type of deals. That's all I can see what is probably going to happen. And if I think if Houston don't get the things that they want, then I think they should carry on with it.
Another team that I personally think they should blow up is a 2-4 Spurs.
What's the blow up there? Like LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan.
Well, that's right. But I mean, maybe he's never been through a pop, but maybe this is the start of where he needs to sort of, I guess, start again, if you know what I mean. Well, he sort of has, I suppose, if you go back to the big three. But what I'm saying is, LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan aren't putting up the numbers at all. So I don't know what their trade value is. That'll be the other way. But I think it's time for them to realize they're not like what they used to be, where everyone put them. Like, they didn't make it for the first time last year and, like, was since 1998. Yeah, but I don't think they'll make it again this year. You know, they're 2-4. They're not looking very good at all.
No. Look, they've got a ton of young guards. Keldon Johnson, Trey Jones. You know, DeJounte Murray is only 24. He hasn't sort of, I don't think he sort of lived up to a lot of the expectation that's been put on him. You know, they got the kid Devin Vassell in the draft this year. Derek White.
Lonnie Walker's a great player. Oh, I think he's starting to be a player.
They've got unbelievable guard depth. They've just got nothing up front.
Yeah. If you look at, I think one of the better players at the moment is Rudy Gay.
Yakub Poeltl's only 25.
Yeah. So I just think when you say blow up, I mean, you've got to get rid of their stars. They're not producing what they need to. At least and I'm not saying they have to produce numbers. I'm saying they have to produce wins. That's the difference. And they're not doing
it. That's what the culture of San Antonio has been for the last two plus decades.
That's right.
Is winning, being that constant, making the playoffs. Okay, as of late, it hasn't sort of worked out terrific for them, but they've still, snuck into the playoffs every single year until last year. But, Aldridge is 35. I think there might still be some value for DeMar DeRozan, but
yeah,
Aldridge will have to go to I don't know. I wouldn't have a clue somebody that would want to take on him. Look, he's one of the best mid-range shooting big men in the league over the past 10 years. He has got an unbelievable mid-range game.
Yeah.
A subpar sort of post game, but you just it's something that's I still think is underrated, and that might just be the little bit of old school in me that I think a mid-range game can still work in the NBA as long as you excel at it. And LaMarcus Aldridge, I still think, has got one of the best mid-range games for a big man. What is he, 6'10", 6'11"?
Yeah. Someone could definitely use – it'd have to be a title-contending team. I'm just sort scaring through a couple now. Like, I mean, and that one – a couple of teams that are throwing out there is Miami. So I don't know about that one, but that mightn't be too bad.
But that mightn't be too bad because they sort of lack – a little bit of depth at the four position. Like they've got, they've got Bam. They've got Myers Leonard.
Well, they'd have to give
guys
up Myers
like
Leonard,
that,
I'd
but
say.
Yeah, they don't sort of really have a genuine four. And a lot of those lineups that they play, if they want to play Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic, well, that's three guards. And that means Jimmy Butler's got to play the four. And you start coming up against some of the better teams around. Even though Jimmy Butler is a really good defender, that's a really tough out for Jimmy Butler to try and defend, big guys, and especially big guys who might be good on the perimeter as well. Like I think that's a bit big ask, and they could be. That's in any sort of man, Miami will be in the hunt this year for a difference-making trade, whether or not they want to mortgage the future in draft picks. I seriously doubt they're going to give up any of their young assets, especially Robinson.
No,
So it's going to have to be guys like, you know, Myers Leonard or is Mo Hark, is Mo Harkless there? I could be wrong about that. He might be somewhere else.
No, he's not there. But you know, you've still got Andre Iguodala on the books. You know, so you know that he might like he might be okay at another team. They're not going to give up, like you said, Tyler Hero. They're clearly not going to give up Goran Dragic. They're not, you know, they sold it, signed him to that other contract only this year. So
see, they could even look at, you know, in a package deal and throw in the kid that they drafted this year. Is it Precious Achiuwa? You know, he looks like he's a raw sort of talent.
Yeah.
You know, that could possibly be groomed, you know, nicely by Popovich.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think San Antonio, I don't know, I think they need to start rebuilding again. I don't know, I think it's glaringly obvious or it is just they just need to.
They're going to be, unfortunately, I think they're going to be bottom feeders again this year, I think, in the West.
On the East sort of side, if we're looking at the table at the moment, the 76ers, they're 6-1 at the moment. This is why I don't think Harden's going there. I think Doc will persevere with what he's got, and I think he likes what he's got. Doc knows what he's done. He's not silly.
No, I think so.
They clearly still got the great.
The only reason I still think that they might be in play is because Daryl Morey is the GM, and that's
for sure.
That's it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but I mean, you know, they've got solid depth. I still think they. And I think Doc's just getting what he needs out of the players that he has in front of him. Really, it's pretty simple.
The engine that makes them tick is Joel Embiid, and it'll always come back to the age old question: can he stay healthy, and can he toughen up in the playoffs?
But even if you look at their last game, I mean. They're pretty, you know, Tobias Harris seems to be getting back to his LA Clippers days, which is pretty ironic, obviously, because Doc's there. He got 24 points in their last game.
He's the linchpin, man. He's the linchpin.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris.
Seth Curry got 21 points off the bench. You know, Ben got a triple-double, you know, Joel got a double-double. So Danny Green even chimed in with 13 points. So
they've got the right formula. It's spread the floor.
Exactly.
So Simmons can slash and cut, spread the floor, so Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons don't bump into each other when they're inside the key, and let Joel Embiid work on the low post, whether it's facing up or whether it's back to the basket.
I personally think that I think we might have mentioned at the start when Doc went to the 76ers, but if anybody's benefited of him going there, it's Tobias Harris. He's putting up decent numbers because he knows how to work it, I guess, with the Doc Rivers formula being at the Clippers. He's playing brilliant.
So it would be the same sort of scheme offensively, and it's like you said, he would already know that. So it would be an easy fit for him to sort of just slide straight into and to carry on.
How about the Magic sitting second at 5-2?
Yeah, well, they started the season 4-0, first time in franchise history.
Yeah, I
look, they can't, they simply just can't sustain that. They just can't sustain that.
I don't think so. I mean, they're always that team that hovers around that number 8 position, but they're also the team that persevered with Markelle Fultz, and that seems to be at the moment working for them. Maybe not the last game, but you know, it seems to be persevering at least for, and it's working.
I think so. Like, they're another team that they've got some young guys there on the team. You know, they obviously don't have Jonathan Isaac at the moment. Yeah, he went down. You know, in the Orlando restart last year. Yeah, it looks. Yeah,
would you have paid him that? Sorry, just
man, with I'd. So Cole Anthony was one of the top 5 picks at the start of last year's college.
College season.
He got hurt, and his stock just plummeted. That is a massive pickup for him. If he can be healthy, Cole Anthony is the real deal.
He's a North Carolina boy, isn't he? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Did he, you he is like?
The real deal. Look. Yeah.
Did you like the Jonathan, just with Jonathan Isaac, did you, so he's out for the season, did you like them paying that amount of money that they paid for him?
Absolutely.
I think
it's
like an $80 million. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought I was on the same sort of. I mean, he's 23, so he's still young. No,
I'm not buying in. Unfortunately, you know, okay, he's still young. I'm really not buying. He's a good defender, but he needs to radically advance offensively. And to me, you know, that they wasted a high draft pick on Mo Bamba, and he's a bust.
Oh, he's a bust. I mean, the one that's playing there at the moment, and if he. Yeah, he's 30. He's Vucevic. Vucevic is killing it for at the moment.
He's good, man. He's worth every penny of that 26 million that they're paying him.
Yeah, he is.
He's worth every penny.
The one that you don't know what to do with him, he's still putting up those numbers, and he's only 25. Aaron Gordon, I think he's coming up to his contract year. If I'm
right. It must be close. I don't know. It's just one of those.
He's a weird player because I don't know what to categorize him. Like I don't know. He's not a superstar. He's a star. He's a star.
No, he's got his notoriety from those dunk contests. It's like Zach LaVine. Like what do you expect from him? Like Zach LaVine takes, yeah, he can put up some numbers. He's a turnstile in defense, but some of his shot selection is just horrible. But it's just this sort of style of play that the NBA is today. He can put up big numbers. That's what I mean. Like that, those two guys have only got notoriety and recognition in the league from those dunk contests.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a contract for $19 million for next year, so that's actually not sort of too bad. So, I guess sort of circling back to Orlando, you're right. They probably can't sustain it for long, but. I don't know. I've seen, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen with the whole bubble sort of thing. Sorry to say the word bubble, but we didn't know what was going to happen in the, well, let's say the finals. We didn't know what was going to happen in the finals, and no one knew Miami was going to make the finals. So no, who knows? Who knows? Orlando, you know, they could shock a lot of people. Who knows? Literally, I don't know because I don't think anyone knows. I don't know if they can. But
the starting five is nothing to be messed with.
No,
it's just it's the development of young players, and do you know what I mean? Like it's one of those catch 22 things. Like you said, it's a can they sort of keep up this? And I highly doubt that they could keep rolling on this sort of form.
Can the New York Knickerbockers still keep on this form at 4-2?
Look, but what the hell are they? What are they?
I don't know.
Are they playing? They're playing good.
Yeah. it sounds weird to say, doesn't it? Yeah.
They are playing good. Look, that they beat Milwaukee by 20, and they were full strength.
Yeah, Milwaukee were. Yeah, I mean, there was always talk of that. Is it Mitchell Robinson? Yeah, it's Mitchell Robinson. He didn't play great.
Yeah, they got very, very big high ups on Mitch Robinson.
But
Julius Randle, man, he's born.
For sure. Yeah, it's Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton. Like, you know,
he's a solid point guard, and you know, he's what, 6'6"? Like, he's a tall point guard. Like, I don't actually mind him as a minor type role. Elfrid Payton, he was pretty ordinary to start his career off, but I think he's developed nicely into a good solid, you know, mid to upper point guard. I think, you know, and it looks like he's sort of fit well in Thibodeau's system. Like, is it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Could be Thibodeau. Who knows?
Straight up, is it just as simple to say that they've got a competent coach there? Is it that simple?
I said before we got on here, yeah, it could be that simple. It could really be that simple. It could also be that they don't face that notorious crowd that they face in the Garden every time too. I mean, it could be a lot of factors. I know they're still traveling, don't get me wrong, but it could be just as simple. I mean, the number three pick, RJ Barrett, is putting up decent numbers too.
The Knicks are going well. Madison Square Garden, it's the place to be.
I didn't, you know, that number is. Everybody was, you know, RJ Barrett, the number three pick. No one has talked about him for a while. He put up 25 Just in the game, they just beat the Pacers. So
he is so inefficient, though.
Oh, they got Austin Rivers too. Wow, yeah, that, yeah.
Wily veteran Austin Rivers.
Wily veteran. I mean, if you look at the other scale on the bottom of the Eastern Conference, Raptors. That's the one that stands out to me. Like, what? I don't know. Like, what are they? What are they? Speaking of the team, nothing's changed there. Like, they did lose. I mean, they picked up Aaron Baines, and they lost Serge Ibaka, but that's pretty much it.
I think a lot of their problems will be is that they've been, essentially uprooted from their home.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
And they're living in Tampa.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
I think. And you hope that it's not affecting them this early in the season because, oh boy, it's going to be a dumpster fire at the end of the year if this is affecting them already. I hope that it's not, but they're in games, but they're not closing out games very well.
They're losing by, except for the one that just said Celtics, they're not losing them by much at all.
No.
By 4 points against the Pels, by 7 points against
that game that was on TV the other day. That game they were down 12 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
they came all the way back. They were up three with a couple of minutes to go in the game, and a couple of Brandon Ingram free throws and a big dagger three by Eric Bledsoe of all people, who hasn't been shooting very well from 3 point. Neither's JJ Redick. Man, he has been. There's been some players this year that are generally good 3-point shooters that are just not clicking at the moment. Kelly Oubre for one, and JJ Redick are the two ones that are really standing out to me that have just been just horrible to start this season, and that's their bread and butter.
I mean, if we just look at your team for a minute, I mean, they did just lose like literally 5 minutes ago. In OT, the Pacers, but they're not playing that bad. What are they sitting fifth at the moment on 4-3?
Well, 4-3. They've got a bit of a home stand at the moment. They've just they just had Toronto in New Orleans. They've got Indiana as well, which they had today. They've still got two more games at home before they go back out on the road.
Thunder and Hornets. So that's not too. That's two winnable, easily games. You would think.
Well, I think they should be two extremely winnable games. I think they've looked pretty solid to start with. Like Brandon Ingram, again, is putting up better numbers than what he has last year. Zion's looking, not super lean, but he's looking better. Steven Adams, I think, is fitting into that team really well. Love what Coach Van Gundy is doing scheme wise. It's a contrast of differences compared to the style of play that they played last year, where it was just absolute run and gun, and you're just trying to run teams off the floor. They were horrible defensively. They were horrendous turnover wise this year. Their turnovers aren't the best. Like they have cut them down, but they're sharing the ball a bit more, and they're using a lot more half court sets.
Yeah, that's the thing I've noticed. They're sharing the ball. I don't know if that's due to Eric Bledsoe, or I don't know. Or just
I think Brandon Ingram is your main, not so much your main distributor, but he's your playmaker. So a lot of stuff is coming off the back of him, and then when they defer, it's coming from Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
And that's what unfortunately, look, I know the Lakers. I think they totally wasted a pick, picking him number two in that was a 2016. Mm-hmm. 2016 draft or 2017 draft. They totally, totally botched that pick. They could have had Jason Tatum. So they bombed that pick. I think he can be a good defender, a really good ball distributor, and a streaky 3-point shooter. And that's about all he's going to be, I think.
I think so. Yeah. That was 2017. That was Markelle Fultz. And then Jason Tatum went number three. I mean, if you look at guy who never went down, I would have taken Darren Fox even.
Well, that's right, exactly.
Number five. So, yeah, that whole Lonzo Ball thing. I mean, he had that hype, but
that's Donovan Mitchell. That's
Bam Adebayo is in there as well. Yeah,
that's
my God.
That's a crazy
draw. Holy, we sneezed out a lot. Zach Collins. Collins?
Oh, hell.
Jesus.
You got a feel for Zach Collins.
Yeah.
Another injury, another surgery, pretty much another season done.
Yeah. I mean,
unfulfilled potential.
Thankfully, they've got you know, okay backup in the centers there. This is Portland we're talking about, obviously.
Yusuf Nurkic, I think is looking
good.
He's looking very thick. Like he's, I don't remember him being that thick when he was at Denver. But he's very robust to say the least. Portland's obviously powered by their backcourt there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's one of the guys who's actually probably been a little down on form to start this year is Damian Lillard.
I think a lot of the
backbreaking labor is being produced by CJ McCollum at the moment.
And when he said he chimes in, Enes Kanter, you know, speaking of backup, he chimes in when he needs to, and he's not too bad.
A really good scorer, but once again, another one of those guys who's a complete turnstile in defense and just gets murdered on pick and roll switches.
I only think they've put him in there, which is the dumbest thing. As a backup, of course, but just to have that big body against someone like Davis in the finals, and it's just not going to work.
Well, it's not going to work, but at least that, if you do that, they're just going to use and abuse him. In the pick and roll, like a lot of the slight on DeMarcus Cousins was the same sort of thing. He's just brutal in switch defense. So
yeah.
His quickness, his lateral quickness is not the best. So that's going to be the thing on him. But in saying that, he's got 6 fouls to give away. So that'd be his, if he's coming up against the Lakers, that'll be his most important role.
Oh, that's hilarious. There are a couple of other points you wanted to sort of touch on. I think we were talking about, we sort of talked about the schedule. We've gone through, I guess, sort of the main games. I mean, we had sort of those Christmas games we were looking at. I mean, I think the biggest thing we were talking about or wanted to talk about was blowouts.
Look, 3 of the 5 Christmas games were blowouts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was nothing. I didn't think any of those games on Christmas Day were too terribly interesting.
It wasn't unwatchable,
The season was only in its infancy. It was only a couple of days old. So, and a lot of these teams, that was their first game. So, there's probably not too much to sort of talk about in those Christmas games. I think it's been a little bit sort of a topsy turvy start. Just there's been a lot of blowouts. It's just funny, a few things that we'd sort of had written down here was the Clips. This was last week, was up 77-27 over the Mavericks at halftime. Yeah. And the Clippers didn't have Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Like they ended up getting beat by 51. So they were down 50 at the half. They end up losing by 51.
The second half
they got outscored by another point. So it's just there's a few teams out there that are laying some real, real nasty eggs. And whether or not they're just blips on the radar and you can just shake them off. It's the NBA. You can't really dwell on them. You just shake them off and go on to bigger and better things. You just gotta have a bad memory when it comes to stuff like that and just put it out of your head.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it could be. I sort of put it down a couple of things. It's possible it could be, your general manager or your front office, scheduling not less travel, but just, when to get to these places, where to sort of stay, how to keep the group together. There'd be a lot of factors they'd have to sort of look into. And I don't know if that helps. I think the less traveling is making the better, the games look better. Personally, I think the games look a lot better.
And the games will look better because they'll be like they were in the Orlando restart. And, I'm not saying it.
No, you nearly said it.
I nearly said it, but I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that B word. But do you know what I mean? Like, you know, they all talk about, you know, shot angles and you know, things like that. Like, the first thing I think of with no crowd in the arena, obviously, is, you know, the hostile crowd against the opposition. Yeah. But when you're shooting free throws, what does everybody do behind? What does everybody do behind the basket?
Go ballistic.
That's right. Exactly. Now the opposing teams, they've got, there's nothing there.
That's true.
That's even less, a lesser distraction. But it's just, I guess, like you said, you know, we're only 2 weeks into the season. There's no point sort of overreacting to a lot of things. But I think if these blowouts continue at this sort of rate, to me, it diminishes the product. You know, if there's teams out there that look, you look at some of the defensive numbers from teams last year, there was teams, you know, and a whole season sample that were giving up over 118, 119 points per game. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, that is disgusting. Like, I get it, you know, all the athletes now, all the players, bigger, stronger, faster, blah, 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 more skillful. Play some defense. Like, you're telling me that all you can do is just dribble and shoot? Like, you know, put a bit of emphasis on both sides of the ball.
They just they don't. That's the thing. It doesn't seem to be. There's only a certain amount of players that do put an emphasis on the ball, like Giannis, you know, AD is sort of in that low post, high post area. They just, I don't know, they just don't. Jason Tatum to one. Oh yeah, I don't get it either. I don't.
It's I don't know. It's almost like a loss. That's the thing that sort of, you know, sort of jilted me a little bit over probably the last 6 or 7 years over the All-Star game. It's just, I don't want to watch a glorified pickup game because that's all it is. Like, everybody's just standing back. Oh yeah, I'm not running back for that. And it's just up, down, up, down, up, down. It's boring.
Yeah. It is boring. Yeah,
like, stand in front of, play some D, have some respect for yourself, have some pride in your game, and play some defense. Put a bit of effort in.
They just, that's why you get these ridiculously high scores. That's the only thing.
You see teams that are scoring 100, 140, 145 points in regulation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Do you like with, I guess, the way Brooklyn Nets are playing at the moment?
At the moment, no. But I like the way they start the season.
I like the way they started the season too. Right at the moment, they're not playing good. But
at the moment, they're not playing very well. The last couple of games, they've had Durant and Kyrie resting. Now KD has gone into quarantine.
Yeah.
He's gone into COVID protocol. So he's going to miss at least the next four games.
Four games, yeah.
Spencer Dinwiddie has had a partially torn ACL.
Yeah.
There's no timetable, as far as I know, at this point in time, when he'll be back. They're probably one of the deepest teams in the league, if not the deepest team in the league, with quality at just about every position. It's been tested straight up. They're 3-4.
Yeah.
And everybody was getting on their you-know-what at the start of the season, going, you know, how well is KD and Kyrie going to be? And I think Kyrie's the Pied Piper there. I think he's got KD a little bit sort of, not so much under the thumb, but, you know, he's sort of playing the tune to his band. Like, I don't know, just the way, just KD's demeanor. I don't know. Like, it just, he seems a lot more chilled out. KD
does, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that Kyrie's the ringleader with those two at the moment. And I think Kevin Durant is just playing the follower.
I just hate my boy Jarrett Allen's getting wasted there. He needs to go somewhere to do something. He's only 22. He's a brilliant center. He was a brilliant center. He still is a brilliant center before DeAndre come in. He's getting wasted.
And that's them getting their boys in.
Yeah. They
didn't need DeAndre Jordan.
No, that's exactly right. No, it's Yeah. He needs to. I think he's on a. I think he's possibly on a contract. He needs to get out of there. He's, you know, possibly Levert as well. But I don't think they'll give Levert up. But he needs.
And I like Caris Levert. I think.
Yeah, I like Caris Levert.
I think he'll buy in this year possibly with a role off the bench and will probably be the focal point off the bench. But you know, the some of their guys. Especially the ones that sort of got them through to the playoffs and then obviously unceremoniously dumped last year. Look, Caris LeVert was last year averaged nearly 19 points a game. Dinwiddie was 20 plus. Yeah, Jared Allen nearly averaged a double double.
Yeah.
All of those numbers are all going to go down with the ball in Kyrie and Kevin Durant's hands.
Correct.
A whole lot.
Correct.
They're going to have exactly. Not so much a diminished role, but their numbers this season, they're probably not going to look as nice. And look, you know, Jared Allen and Caris LeVert, each year, their numbers, since they came into the league, each year, all of their numbers have ascended.
So yeah,
every year they're getting better. Every year they're working, developing, and getting more potent. And I think LeVert, especially the success that he had sort of last year at the end of the season, throughout the restart and in the playoffs, I think he sort of not so much cemented himself as a really good, you know, a more than a role player. Like you said, you know, your boy Jared Allen's being wasted. I think I think that Caris LeVert will. I think he'll buy in this year. And it'll just be a matter of what his role will be come the playoffs. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like we said, you know, that playoff rosters will only be, you know, will playoff rotations, 7-8 players. That's going to be it. It'll be different this year, you know, if somebody tests positive for COVID-19, that could change things. You know, the rosters are obviously a lot more deeper than what they have been in recent years. But when the playoffs come around, it's generally a 7-8 man rotation and that's it.
He only just signed a new contract too. So his contract just started this year, $52.5 million for 3 years, which is a pretty good contract if someone wants to take that up.
That's a very team friendly deal.
Very, very team friendly contract. So, but then I don't know if they need to sort of blow it up. I think you just said they'll probably buy in and have that depth there. If he can win a chip and then sort of go somewhere maybe later, maybe. I think you're right. I think they'll both have to buy in. I don't – where everyone thinks, you know, that they're going to move a lot of players, I don't think they will, like depending what happens with Kyrie and Durant.
No, I think so. I think it's going to be on Steve Nash, on how he sort of manages –
yeah.
You know, that nasty phrase that is tossed around the NBA at the moment in load management. For me, it's going to be how they manage that. You know, obviously Kyrie Irving, you know, hasn't got the greatest history with injuries. Got Kevin Durant coming off the Achilles. What does their plan look like for Kevin Durant? What does he look like after 20 games, 40 games, 60 games as the season goes on and it grinds on? Do they load manage him with minutes or do they load manage him with games and just make him sit out games altogether? Or do they do essentially almost what LeBron does a little bit and just sort of manage minutes instead of playing, you know, instead of playing 38 minutes, yeah, he might only play 32. So that's a little bit less sort of wear and tear on the body. It's they've got the depth there to be able to do that, I think. And it'll be, yeah, that's the one thing I'm waiting on to see what Brooklyn does, especially now that KD's gone into quarantine for essentially a week.
Which is four games, which is, you know, just a week doesn't sound like much, but in NBA, four games, that's a huge
four games, amount a lot. Of games. And if you lose three out of them four,
that's
big trouble.
Any other sort of NBA stuff to sort of touch on before we finish it up?
Look, I think we talked a little bit about how John Wall, I think, is fitting in. Has he had one game this year or two games this year?
I think he's just had his second, I believe.
Yeah.
He was okay in the first game, but...
Yeah. So the other end of the spectrum is what Russell Westbrook is doing at Washington. Look, he's... It's career lows. Like, okay, yeah, cool. He's averaging a triple-double. Sweet. Like, that's fantastic. He's shooting 38% from the field, down on a career where he shoots at 44. You know, he's a career 30-point three-point shooter, which is a little bit below average. Yeah. He's shooting 22%. Yeah, great. 11 rebounds, 12 assists. He's nearly at 5 turnovers a game, which has always been, especially in the last few years, a big glaring hole in his game is turnovers.
Yeah.
He's shooting less free throws this year. He's just not getting to the line this year. As a career, he shoots nearly 8 free throws a game. He's not even shooting four free throws a game. So that means he's only getting to the line 2, maybe 3 times a game. That's just not enough. That's not enough.
I think, you know, so he went, did he get injured last year? I think he's carrying something, or there's something up there. Did he get injured last year when he was with the Rockets?
Yeah.
Sorry. He got hit with COVID pretty hard, remember? That's right. He got hit with COVID and they sort of got bundled out. But he came back. But remember, he came back very, like, he was 50-70%. He wasn't even that good. I don't know. It's probably nitpicking, but I still can't work out that trade, like, who have benefited. I don't know if it still has benefited the Houston Rockets.
Okay, look at it right now. I think Houston is looking pretty good at the moment. I don't see
the benefit for the Wizards. I mean, everybody wanted to sort of see what, and it's weird. Everybody to me wanted to see what John Wall and Bradley Beal would do together again, but they didn't get that sort of chance. But I don't know. I think the Wizards are pretty much where I thought the Wizards will be. What are they, 1-5 or 2-5?
2-5 at the moment. Yeah,
I think
they're one of the teams that's recently just beaten Brooklyn on their couple of game losing streaks. So I think Brooklyn's lost 2 on the trot. So and Washington started 0-5.
Yeah,
they've won 2 on the trot at the moment. So yeah, they're beginning to pick it up. They're one of the worst defensive teams out there. Like, they're getting scored on. Like, they can score, but they're averaging 120 points given up per game.
Yeah,
which is just...
Who defends on there? Nobody, really. Look at that. You know, Westbrook doesn't defend. Beal hasn't really defend. Doesn't really defend. Yeah, there's just... I think is it Rui Hachimura? I don't know.
What do you mean? It's your boy.
I just like his name. He's not my boy. Oh, no, no. I do like him. Yeah, no. Well, we'll see. I don't know.
You love him.
I think he chimed in that game, didn't he? When he beat. Yeah, he got 15 points. That's a serious chime. That's a team I don't. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they're pretty much where I thought they would be, kind of thing. Like, you know, they got Davis Bertans and then Robin Lopez, but they don't seem to be doing much there at all, even. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think they'll make a whole lot of noise. Unless Bradley Beal can sort of go on a tear like he did last year. And even then, like, albeit he didn't have a whole lot of help last year, They still didn't have the greatest record, and yeah, they still made the little bogus 8 game play-in at the end of last year, which they shouldn't have made. But it's too early. Like I said, it's too early to hit the panic stations.
Yeah,
give the season another 4 weeks, and we'll know a little bit more on who's who.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it'll start becoming a bit smooth. Yeah,
rookie
I agree.
Class, yeah, you know, especially those high draft pick rookies to sort of really shine a little bit more. I think there's been a lot of hype around LaMelo Ball, and and so, you know, his sort of inconsistencies, I guess, with Charlotte. So it's, yeah, he makes a lot of highlight plays, but he's not, you know, I don't know how well he's doing there in actually helping them win. You know, I think they had a good start to the season. I think they've lost three on the trot now, so they sort of sunk down a little bit at the moment. So I think, yeah, there's a little bit, you know, I like the Gordon Hayward signing, and but yeah, it'll be what this rookie class. I think James Wiseman is playing really well at Golden State.
I like, just before I answer that one, I like Gordon Hayward, the pickup. I don't like them paying $30 million for Gordon Hayward. I don't think he's worth $30 million.
Money, but yeah, that's...
That's just I don't think he's worth $30 million a year. But I like them picking up Gordon Hayward. So, I think Wiseman, this is what I was going to ask you. I know this is going to be completely off your head, but I think Wiseman's very early on, like rookie of the year potential.
He looks good.
He does look good. That's why I was going to sort of, I think we did it last year, if I remember, where we did the very, very early picks of what we had. And you know, I think you nearly got them all right. Who we picked for MVP, who we picked for most improved, who we picked for rookie of the year and coach of the year. I think you got like 3 out of 4 last time.
We better rack them up again then.
You reckon you can name now, or we'll hold it to the next pod?
Oh, wow. Now's probably with no research and no time.
We'll give it a week. We'll give it a week.
We'll give it a week and we'll bust that out next week and have our too early predictions for most improved, rookie of the year, defensive player of the year, MVP.
And coach of the year. I think we were both pretty unanimous on the MVP, but you definitely picked most improved, I remember, and I think you picked defensive as well.
My defensive player of the year was going to be Andre Drummond, and that was way, way, way off.
None of us had Giannis. That's right. We both said that. We'll do that next week. Definitely do that next week.
Golden State had a bit of a shocking start to the year, but they've bounced back a little bit, 3-3, so... Yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure on Steph Curry at the moment.
On Steph Curry. I mean, he just had that 60-point game, but I just...
62, career high, 62. And it takes that to beat a Blazers team that they're just not playing very well at the moment. So that's a Herculean effort for Golden State to get a W. But, man, he can't keep that up. But, yeah, that was a huge game by him only a couple of days ago.
I don't like I like once Clay went down, I wrote him off. I don't think they were gonna, you know, as great as Steph is, I don't think they make the 8 without Clay.
Personally. No, I don't think so. I think they'll be extreme bottom of the 8, hovering around. For Curry to stamp himself as one of the greats in the league. He needs to carry this team. He needs to carry this team to the playoffs. He doesn't need to carry them to the promised land. He doesn't need to get them into the conference finals or the NBA finals or anything like that. But with the roster that they've sort of constructed around them and what they'll need to do, especially in a stacked Western Conference where, yeah, like we said before, 11, 12 teams could totally have a legitimate shot in making the playoffs. So they've got a couple of good wins under the belt at the moment. So we're just going to see what they can sort of produce. Like you said, you know, with Steph Curry, Draymond Green has just fallen off a cliff. Just absolutely fallen off a cliff.
Yep. That's it. That's exactly what I thought. I think of Draymond Green. I don't think he's a player that, you know, he was a great defensive player. I don't think much about him anymore.
Probably the last 2 years, people have just been leaving him wide open for three, and they're doing exactly the same thing this year. You prove to us that you can hit that shot, and then we might come out and defend you. But they can just, you know, so-called stack the box, and they can just leave him out there. Go for it. Shoot it all you want. It's like Ben Simmons. Shoot it all you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. But then what?
Just see all the big fanfare and conjecture. Oh, Ben Simmons makes another three and it makes worldwide headlines. Give me a break.
Philly fans just go ballistic when he gets that
God's
three.
God's sakes.
I love it. It's they go ballistic. It's hilarious. But why? They get left open, right? Why don't they take those couple of steps in and hit that mid range? Because they get pretty deep. They're probably not two steps, but maybe another step in. I don't know.
Because it's not taught.
That's it. That's ridiculous.
It's not taught.
That's ridiculous. I understand. I mean, you're taught. I don't like the idea of these.
Look, the mid range game is
a 3-pointer.
It's the hardest thing to do because every shot is different. That's why you've always got to put guys like Kobe and MJ just on a pedestal all on their own because they had great mid range games.
Yeah, and that's speaking of mid range, that's what if Giannis can somehow develop a mid range game, a better mid range game. That he will be completely unstoppable because that's what he doesn't have. He doesn't have a mid-range game. He
doesn't have a mid-range game, and he really doesn't have a three-point shot either. But
if he can,
he's getting a little bit more respect. But he's another one. But they'll just leave him wide open up top and just let him have it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I think if we look at the Bucks, even I think they're not doing too bad. I think they're 4-3. I think again it's probably early days. I think they'll end up going. They should finish first. I still think only on 4-3, if not second. But
they've got the best offense in the league.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
and they're blowing teams out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're probably just lacking. I don't remember. Was Drew ever a good defender at Pelicans?
Holiday? Are you kidding? Drew Holiday got super snubbed the last couple of years all defensive team. Yeah, Holiday, when the Pels made their playoff run where they swept Portland a couple of years ago, and then they played Golden State. You know who the person that was defending Kevin Durant was? Yeah, Drew Holiday.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And he just simply wasn't tall enough. He could bump, he could bang bodies with him.
Yeah.
But all Kevin Durant had to do was just raise up, and Drew Holiday's face is in his navel.
Yeah.
Like it's just there's no competition. Like it's, I mean, he could stay with him laterally, but as soon as Durant raises up, it was the impossible task.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
Drew
yeah,
Holiday
that's right. Yeah, he's a good defender.
Yeah, he's just a little undersized at 6'4", 6'3".
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Their games, as in Eric Bledsoe and Drew Holiday, are fairly similar. I think I like Holiday a little bit better offensively, but obviously, Eric Bledsoe made all defensive second team last year. So you'd have to say that he's probably got a little bit sort of more defensive prowess than what. But Drew Holiday, I think, is a totally underrated defender.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. No, that's fair. That's what I mean. It didn't sort of spring to mind.
That's the thing. If they can sort of get situations where they you don't have to put the ball in Giannis's hands in late game situations and for him to make the play, you can put the ball in Drew Holiday's hands. He can make the play, whether it's to score or whether it's to distribute. So I think that's going to be the plan going forward. And you've also got a dead eye sniper in Chris Middleton as well. So that they've got options where they can spread the ball out, or Giannis is one of the best slashers going to the hoop, around the league at the moment. So that Drew Holiday is the engine there that in late game situations. That they can sort of put the ball in his hands and he makes the play.
Yeah, yeah, and he's got a decent. He's got a decent three on him too, doesn't he? Drew Holiday.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice looking three-point shot. Yeah, look, I still think they'll finish up there. I mean, 4-3 doesn't. We're early days. It doesn't really make it. Not I wouldn't say make a difference, but it doesn't really. Account for that much at the moment purely because it's still early days.
Yeah, no, it's that's right. Like, it's a little too early at the moment. The season's only 2 weeks old, so yeah, we just let things play out a little bit now, and that's how it's going to roll for the meantime. And like I said, you give it another 3 to 4 weeks, and then we'll start to know who's real and who's fake.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm very certain who in realness, Detroit's definitely really gonna be on the bottom. Like Detroit, they're not playing good.
We sort of had a bit of a laugh at what they were doing in free agency and trades and everything this year. It's just a hodgepodge of I don't know what.
And you know who even though we laughed, you know who's playing really good for them at the moment, or probably because Blake Griffin's not there. Is Plumlee. Plumlee's putting up numbers. but that's ridiculous. He shouldn't be putting up numbers. That's the whole point.
He's not there to put up numbers, but that's the scene. Just goes to show you put players in the right situation. Like these are good players. They're NBA players.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The NBA if they're crap. They put them in the situation where they can where they get shots.
Yeah,
and get the ball a lot. They can still put up numbers.
Yeah. One more team
that was sort of worth mentioning a little bit that probably hasn't quite sort of done very well in the first couple of weeks is the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah,
no Kristaps Porzingis. He's been cleared this week to go into full practice, so he'll be back shortly. And the question I pose to you. How much longer until he can be a very healthy and dangerous Kristaps Porzingis?
How much longer before he becomes it? Can he become it?
Since that injury, everybody is so cautious with him. Like that, sooner or later, they're going to have to let him loose. He's going to have to be in the mold of Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was like bulk scrawn. Like he was just skin and bone when he come into the league. Yeah. Have a look at him now. He's a bit of a unit. Okay, it's been 7-8 years, but he's got bulk on him now. The injuries are less. I think Porzingis needs to put on a little bit more beef, but they've got to let him loose sooner or later. They've absolutely got to let him loose sooner or later because he's going to be another one of those players that's unfulfilled potential.
That's exactly
especially
right.
Especially with Luka Doncic there, who looks like he ate Kristaps Porzingis.
He looks like he ate him. But he
looks chunky.
But I just think that's not too bad for the way sort of he. I don't know. I think he's sort of even like because he can still slash. I don't mind how he's built. He looks a little bit, but he seems healthy enough and he's not tiring out or anything. But with Kristaps, I totally agree with you. Ever since there was that 2018 ACL injury,
it was a devastating injury. He blew everything out in his knee, and all it was just coming down off a dunk, and he landed on that leg real hard, and he went down. And it's I don't know. It's just one of those injuries there's categories of ACL injuries, and this is obviously on the high side of it. But it's I don't know that they've got a They've got to let him loose sooner or later. They've got to take the shackles off sooner or later. Otherwise, what is he going to be? Just a perennial 50 to 55 game player per season, and he's going to miss a game every four.
And you need to do it because you need to see how I see it is. I think you mentioned with Luka. You need to just let him loose and just see what he's going to do, or you need to get rid of him because you don't want to waste Luka's. I mean, he's only 21, 22. But you don't want to waste these early years of him. No, so, right. If they don't let him loose.
Luka's price tag is only going to keep going up.
Oh, 100%.
And up.
And if he keeps playing good, you know, people will want to play with him. So if you've got someone like a Porzingis trade chip there and you know, there's certain stars will want to play with him. I mean, I think last year he was – just before sort of or just going into the to Orlando. He was 30. I think it was 30 points in Orlando. I think it was 30 points and 9 rebounds, I believe, before they got sort of bundled out. But yeah, I think he's still so skinny. I agree. He's so
they just need to have that sort of developmental plan, you know, to try and put. He might just be one of those guys that is just, he's a skinny dude and he's never going to put a whole lot of bulk on.
I don't think he will.
I think they've got to try. But... Can they just ask him, do you like Popeye's chicken? Like, and we should give you some every now and then. Like, just something. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's I really fear that he's going to be one of those great wastes in talent because of an injury so early in his career.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how he can sort of go through it. I agree. I mean, I totally agree. Because he signed that big max, didn't he? 158 over 5. So they have to. They don't have a choice. They have to.
Well, they're committed. So
they're going to have to do something with him. But I don't think he's a bust. I not yet. At least.
Oh no, he's not a bust. He's absolutely not a bust.
I don't know too much. Like, I mean, I don't know. How, do you think is this injury? Is there more to this injury than meets the eye?
I don't know. I think just teams.
Yeah.
I think they're just being super cautious, like what Toronto did with Kawhi Leonard when he came from San Antonio with that quad injury, and even like what they did last year with Kawhi Leonard. Like, he sat out, you know, one every 3 to 4 games. Like, he just. That's just what Kawhi Leonard's the. How bad can this injury be? It's been 3 years now. It's been 3 years.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, maybe.
Like,
maybe
how
yeah.
can it still? How can it still be a lingering problem? Then to me, that means it's not a San Antonio problem. It's not a doctor's at San Antonio misdiagnosing it. It can't linger for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. That's a whole thing to talk about later. I don't get that either.
I just don't buy it. Something happened there at San Antonio that he just got so disgruntled that he wanted out, and it was an irreparable relationship.
That's a mystery. That whole San Antonio thing. He technically should be there for life. That's how
who leaves an organization like that?
After getting,
you don't leave the San Antonio Spurs willingly when you're a Finals MVP like
exactly
that.
Right. Exactly right.
And you've won a championship. Yeah. You just don't leave.
He could have signed a lot. Yeah, I don't. There's something was obviously or I don't know. I don't know. I really
either
can't
that or the wrong people have gotten into his ear. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't. That's the thing. I don't. It's a weird one because he should be after that Finals MVP. He should still be there. Really, he should still be there. I don't get it. So
You don't leave an organization as successful and as professional as the San Antonio Spurs.
Maybe it's probably that what you said. Maybe someone's gotten in his ear. That's the only thing I can put it down to. Someone's gotten in his ear. He did what he did in Toronto as well. So it's not, I don't know. And he left on good terms there. So I there's something obviously that happened in San Antonio. I don't know. Maybe it's what Chuck says about San Antonio.
And big old women.
with all those churros. Churros. That's how I'm gonna finish this. Churros. I love it.
Oh man.
I don't know. It is a weird one.
He was hard on San Antonio, but he was even more brutal on Phoenix.
Yeah, with all the nachos and all that. Cold cheese, Shaq. Oh, the chips are stale.
Oh, seats are dirty.
It's a real mystery. And it's funny, I know we're still lingering on with this one, but like Pop really hasn't, for some, you know, he's not a talk in the meter at all. Pop isn't. I understand that. But you'd think he would have said something about it. But maybe, you wouldn't think it would have been a Pop thing. You would not think that, but I don't know.
You never know. Yeah, what Pop might have rubbed him the wrong way. I don't know. But why do you have guys like Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, those sort of guys that stuck there for life and they seem to get on, and Kawhi Leonard was the last, you know, the last one on the ship, and he's the first one out.
Unless he wanted to be load manager and they didn't want to do that. That's the only thing I could put it down to, because that's always wanted since that injury.
That's always been the story, is that this quad injury was misdiagnosed and mismanaged by the San Antonio medical staff. And he wanted his own medical staff or a second opinion, and there was a conflict of interest.
It's possible. If that's a reason you need, that's a reason you need. He's a person that goes to the beat of his own drum. I still don't know what he's going to do in the Clippers, if he stays this year, and I don't think anyone knows. If he doesn't, he'll be the prize.
Oh, yeah, free agent,
because everybody else has sort of signed up pretty much, which is really unusual. You know, usually we don't see that a lot, really, do we?
You don't see a lot of two and one. Type deals. It's 2 years. If this place sucks, then I'll just go on free agency and I'll just go somewhere else. So,
but there's not going to be many good free agents this year. You don't see a lot of these, supermax and max deals done. Like, they're usually waiting to see what's sort of out there, but they're signing them early. Which all I can put it down to is that they're getting the money while they're in before it possibly.
That's right. That's the point behind these loyalty/supermax contracts and max contracts with the team that drafted you and things like that is you want to leave, you're going to leave an astronomical amount of money on the table. And some players take it and some don't.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think if you're like a Dirk Nowitzki or Tim Duncan or whatever, if you're loyal to the club, then the club should get rewarded. And I mean, I don't know if you have, so say Dirk as an example, he signs a $30 million contract at the Mavericks and he's been there for 20 years or 15 years, let's say that. And then they should, some of that money should then not come on the cap because he's been loyal to stay with the team.
That's right. Stuff like that where a percentage of it is not
counted,
especially
towards the
cap. when it's a soft cap league.
Yeah, that should not be counted towards the cap.
That doesn't count to the actual official salary cap.
Yeah, I personally think that. I just think especially if you're loyal, and that's just
how many team friendly deals that he would have taken throughout the prime of his career.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I just think it stops the whole that motion of what's a player empowerment league. That'll stop that sort of by the players will still get their money, but they can get sort of certain people around them because there'll be a concession to stay at a team kind of thing, if you know what I mean.
They've got to give up an astronomical amount of money to go.
To go,
and that's what happened with that. That's the first one that comes to my mind is Anthony Davis.
But he only wanted. Well, I mean, there's probably other reasons, but he just wanted a better team around him. I thought you were building to a good team personally, but
it was taking too long.
Too long. That's exactly right. Yeah, no, that's right.
I think he would have really liked this system this year. I really do.
Yeah. No, I do. I mean, there's a lot of what ifs on a lot of teams, but if he was still there, they wouldn't have got the Zion pick either. So there's a lot of hearsay, really.
That's the way that it went. The way that it went. You know, now that they've gone for the younger option and possibly a more generational talent, but only time will sort of tell on what how quickly he develops.
Zion, he's going good so far. Well, I guess that'll do it this week for our NBA pod. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, which is Twitter @FinalPlayPod, and like and share and all that good stuff on Facebook, which is Final Play Podcast, which is where you'll see all our where you can get all our podcasts. Don't forget if you're into trading cards, you'll be able to See our podcast as well on Gimco, which is gimco.com.au, gimko.com.au.
Yeah, we've had a good little uptick in views and listens to on there as well. So we got a few new listeners on Gimco. So thanks very much for that.
And I was listening, and also I was watching on Instagram again, a pod that I follow, like Bill Simmons pod, and his son's fully into NBA breaks, like massively into NBA breaks. I mean, the guy, he's worth $100 million, Bill Simmons. So really, it's probably a drop in the ocean getting breaks. But he played his Instagram. His son was opening an NBA break, and he went, you know, just little cards were coming out. And he went ballistic because had a Zion, a 2 out of 5 Zion come out of that break, and he just went ballistic.
Yeah,
it was, but it was in like I don't know the whole thing behind it, but it was Zion in his college uniform. So
oh yuck, no,
that's
very,
Zion,
very.
Zion 2 out of 5.
That's good that it's a nice low number, you know, serial number and things like that. But I do not like college.
Yeah, I think you liked it. Yeah.
No, I'm not. Yeah, whether it's the NFL or whether it's the NBA, I want to see them in their professional teams. I really don't like them in their college teams. I think that's just Panini America trying to cash in. They've already just blanket the market with 1,000 different products.
Yeah.
And now they want to put out collegiate products as well. Nah, don't like it.
But yeah, he went ballistic. So now he said his son's just obsessed with card breaks.
Well, that's what happens to a lot of people. Like you get something nice early on when you first start collecting. That's it, man. You're hooked. That's like winning a jackpot playing the pokies for the first time. That's it. You're hooked.
Yeah, well, that's like me on Sportsbet and now me on Jordans, but I'm not going to get money back on Jordans unless I start selling them.
If you keep wearing them.
Well, I keep wearing them as well. But that's good. So more likes and upticks. That's good. Really good.
That's good. We've had a few extras excellent over the Christmas and New Year's break, which is really good and muchly appreciated.
Well, shout out to everyone on there. Obviously, the guys that run it, but shout out to everybody that follows and uses gimco.com.au as well.
There's plenty of them.
All right, well, my name's Jason. I love Cheerios Smith. They are nice with ice cream.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so good. Just if you're in for a laugh, just Google Charles Barkley rips Phoenix Suns. Like it's so good.
I love when he confesses that he ate a churro to Baron Davis was on the panel and he went ballistic. He is, I can see why they love the churros now. I had one.
B Diddy, he's the man.
Oh, he was loving it.
Oh man, I love it. B Diddy is the man. He is one of my favorite all time like Hornets players. Like he is the man. Loved him when he played. Love him in the media. And I don't know if you've seen much about what him and Master P are doing, trying to buy Reebok. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Hey man, if you've got the means and you can get the loan and you can get the money to be a majority owner in Reebok, why not?
And it looks like I think I've read $2.6 billion, which I mean that's not really, you know, in those kind of things terms, it's not that dear. In that
no,
term,
it just depends on what sort of collateral.
A lot of money, obviously.
Yeah, but it depends on depends on how much they're allowed to borrow and what sort of collateral and stuff they got. So, yeah, that's a very interesting development in Baron Davis and Master P of all people looking to invest and bring Reebok back to back to the forefront of sneakers of basketball shoes.
Well, they said, I mean, they also specifically said they just, you know, to have like a black. Because it obviously sells, but having a black owners.
That's what they want. A majority holder, black owned, sneaker company like that.
And that obviously because that's that is the style that is the.
What a lot of us would have grown up on. Reebok were a big shoe.
Yeah, Reebok was huge.
We were growing up.
I'd love to see Reebok come out again. I'd love to see because Adidas own it. That's right, Adidas own them at the moment. So, $3.8 billion. So, yeah, wow, they could. So, Oh, and he goes, if it succeeds, he, you know, he wants to put front and center.
Allen Iverson.
Yeah. Yeah. He said he wants Allen Iverson to do at Reebok what Michael Jordan did for Nike. He said,
you know what? Bring back the answer.
So that, oh man, I'd love to see Reebok's kick around again. There's just more shoes I'll get. But anyway, sorry.
No, that's true. I guess I better sign off as Miles. I need more shoes in my life, Plum. you can't get enough. You can't get enough.
No, you can't. No, I'm always afraid to wear them too.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. If I was a squid or an octopus, I'd be real happy.
Of course you would. All right. Have a good week, everyone.
All right. See ya.